proud of your 2-year wait. Ho, 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 ho. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capitol, California, with instant illumination. I have a student who writes that he's proud of his 2-year wait. He continued with his confidence and his belief in himself, and after 2 years, it manifested. Well, that's okay. It's not true, but that's okay. You see, this student, as all of our students are, takes the principle and applies it. And naturally, as we all seem to do, we take the principle and apply it to something that is important to us. At least we think it's important to us. And so until that which is important to us is revealed, manifested, brought forth, experienced in our life, we feel that the treatment has not yet fulfilled itself. We feel that it is not done until that revelation comes through to us in our life. Well, our student is a very special student. He lives in Nigeria, or rather in Ghana, and he has a very wonderful organization going now that he has developed, and he's just finished his doctoral thesis that you'll be reading about in the gist. But what he forgets to look at is that during that 2-year period that he was waiting for the revelation of that important idea, around him were happening an infinite number of revelations too, which he also reveals in his dissertation. And he writes about how these things came about and how he was vindicated when someone said that his son had stolen something, and the inner genius just said, hey, they said he stole his cell phone. And so the wisdom came to him and said, dial his number. Dial the phone number. And they dialed the cell phone number, and it had not been stolen. It was very under the seat of the car itself. It had slipped down when they put it back on the seat. And they lost sight of it, but no one rang them on it. And when they rang, then they found there it was. And indeed, it had not been stolen. But, you see, when you listen divinely within, when you are not full of anxiety so that you have no control of what you're doing, then you become filled with anxiety. You become filled with tension. You become filled with worry. You say, oh my dear, what am I going to do? You know. But when you believe in yourself, when you believe in the principles that you're learning and practicing and using, then just a simple thought comes to your mind, dial the number. See if it rings someplace. See if someone has found it. See what happens. And you see, it's such a simple, wonderful, marvelous thing. And who would say that they were proud of that great achievement? Well, they were proud of it, but they didn't realize how great it was. Because what they had done was to let go and let the divine in them reveal the pattern that would reveal the telephone, that would take them off the hook for being thought to have done something they shouldn't have done. You see, you can be proud of yourself that your great and wonderful choice has finally come about, but don't neglect the possibility, not the possibility, don't neglect the reality that the little things are happening building up to what it is that you're ready for. You'd like to have a beautiful car, and you can't drive. You'd like to have a beautiful car, you have no money for gas, or license, or insurance. You'd like to have a beautiful car, and you just have no talent for doing anything with it, but you'd just like to have it, and you'd like to go places with it. Well, lo and behold, your friends say to you, hey, I heard you wanted to go to town. Come on, I'll take you along. I heard you wanted to do this. Come on, I'll take you along. Hey, whenever you need me, give me a buzz. I really don't have too much to do, and I'm just so happy to be of service to you because I'm of service to the consciousness and the religious philosophy that I love that you represent. Hey, come, just call upon me. And they take you in their car, which for which they have paid the insurance and the license, and they paid for the car, and they pay for the gas, and they take you where you want to go. They're your chauffeur, no less, you know, my goodness sakes. And you want this car, but you, in your attitude, as our attitude is so often, we want to own it. We want to possess it. We want to have it and say that it is ours. Well, just thinking about how one of our students flew over from Switzerland in a beautiful jet, glorious jet that she has, and she brought her two grandchildren with her, and they had their pilot fly them over here and bring them to the airport, and they just had a wonderful flight, just a glorious flight in their airplane. And when they got out, they told the pilot, go about your business, just enjoy. We're going to go home on this date, so we'd like to leave at this time. So be at the airport to pick us up at that time. And the pilot said, sure thing, ma'am. Sure thing. Well, now, in fact, they bought a ticket. But could they own the plane any more than they did by buying the ticket? By buying the ticket, they bought that plane. They own that plane. That plane was their personal plane. They took other people along with them because they're very magnanimous people, but they own that plane. Now, goodness sakes, do you want to wait until the day comes that you own a jet airplane and you take lessons in flying the jet airplane and you learn all of the charts and the maps and you spend all that tedious time doing those things and then you have to hire yourself some waitresses or stewardesses and stewards to manage the plane inside for you to serve you cocktails or to serve you whatevers, you know. And, hey, when we start appreciating the magic we have already, the magic of owning buses, owning cars that other people drive for us, owning houses. So many of our friends, they say, hey, I have a house up in the mountains and I'm not using it. Would you like to use it sometime? Oh, my goodness, yes, that'd be lovely. Well, we're using it next weekend, and then we won't be there until next fall because we're going to go to Europe. And if you'd like to, here's the key. Just go anytime you like. Enjoy it. My goodness sakes, I now own a house in the mountains. No, you don't. It's somebody else's. No, it's mine. It is mine to use, to enjoy as much as I could enjoy in any other way, but I don't have to pay the bills on it. Isn't that wonderful? I don't have to pay for the gas and the oil. I don't have to pay for the utilities of any kind, the telephone. They even have a telephone there, my goodness. And I don't have to pay for anything. They have a caretaker who keeps up the grounds and who washes the windows and sweeps the outer floors and so forth. All I have to do is just take care of the inside that I use myself. Wow! Yes. You see, when we get so attitude that we're thinking about it took 2 years to accomplish something, we have not paid attention to all the wonderful miracles that happened in between that we just took for granted. Now, the more we recognize the miracles that are happening, and the less we take them for granted, the more we delight in them, the more we have these miracles taking place. Because I tell people, write in your blessing book every day all the things that you consider a blessing. And if you can't think of something that you consider a blessing, then think that you're breathing, you're eating, you're sleeping, you're doing other normal physiological functions, you know, and that too is a miracle, you know. And so when people start doing this, they start having so many miracles, they get so busy, they don't have time to write them in their book. And then, as I question them later on, no, I haven't been writing it. Well, why not? I've been too busy having miracles. Well, that's all fine and dandy. But as you write these miracles down, as you write these blessings down in your blessing book, you will find that you have so many wonderful blessings that you didn't even think about. You didn't even remember. But as you write them down, you make them written across your forehead in stone, you know, chiseled in there, saying, this was a miracle, that was a miracle, this was wonderful, that was wonderful, these are glorious things. And then that's all you know. If you don't write them down, then you sometimes concentrate on some of the difficult things that come your way. And you think about the difficult things that come your way, but you don't think that those difficult things also were solved. You merely remember there were difficult things. You don't remember that they were solved. But you see, living in the now, we don't pay much attention to the things in the past. We only pay attention to what we call the highlights or the disasters or the joys or something of that nature. Make it a practice, I recommend, that you have a blessing book. And every day you write in that blessing book as many things as you can, not the full story. All you have to do is just say, Martha called and told me that my hair looked beautiful. Or John called and said, can I come over and play poker tonight? They're having a game and it's going to be a lot of fun. And he's never asked me before. He's asked everybody else, but never me. I'm honored. And I say, thanks, John. You honor me. I can't come tonight, but thank you very much. Call again. I'd love to come when I can. And John said, sure thing. So John realizes that you're not sitting on pins and needles waiting for him to call, and that you can have other things in your life too, but that was a joyous, wonderful thing to be called. You see, writing down the blessings reminds us that we have more blessings and more wonderful things in our life than we could ever dream of. Think on these things, because this is what life really is. And we can be proud of our 2-year wait for our blessings to take place, but in the process, let's not forget all the blessings that are taking place every moment of our life. Have a wonderful day. Live in your instant illumination as I do in mine. And have fun and be yourself. I love you. I love you. I love you.